Feeling the pressure from Einstein's continued probing of the Copenhagen interpretation, Bohr abandoned his previous reliance on disturbance, because he knew that it implied that an electron, for example, existed in a state that could be disturbed. Instead, Bohr now emphasized that any microphysical object being measured and the apparatus doing the measuring formed an indivisible whole, the phenomenon. There simply was no room for a physical disturbance due to an act of measurement. This was why Bohr believed the EPR reality criterion was ambiguous. Alas, Bohr's response to EPR was less than clear. Years later, in 1949, he admitted to a certain inefficiency of expression when he reread his paper. Bohr tried to clarify that the essential ambiguity he had alluded to in his EPR rejoinder lay in referring to physical attributes of objects when dealing with phenomena where no sharp distinction can be made between the behavior of the objects themselves and their interaction with the measuring instruments. Bohr did not object to EPR predicting the results of possible measurements of particle B based on knowledge acquired by measuring particle A. Once the momentum of particle A is measured, it is possible to predict accurately the result of a similar measurement of the momentum of particle B as outlined by EPR. However, Bohr argued that that does not mean that momentum is an independent element of B's reality. Only when an actual momentum measurement is carried out on B can it be said to possess momentum. A particle's momentum becomes real only when it interacts with a device designed to measure its momentum. A particle does not exist in some unknown but real state prior to an act of measurement. In the absence of such a measurement to determine either the position or the momentum of a particle, Bohr argued that it was meaningless to assert that it actually possessed either. For Bohr, the role of the measuring apparatus was pivotal in defining EPR's elements of reality. Thus, once a physicist sets up the equipment to measure the exact position of particle A, from which the position of particle B can be calculated with certainty, it excludes the possibility of measuring the momentum of A and hence deducing the momentum of B. If, as Bohr conceded to EPR, there is no direct physical disturbance of particle B, then its elements of physical reality, he argued, must be defined by the nature of the measuring device and the measurement made on A.